Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. When you see Matt Robus's carved birds perched on a piece of driftwood or a slab of rock, you will be fooled into thinking it's real, and that's partly the point. He's here now to tell us about his exhibit of bird carvings this first Friday. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Shelley.
Hi, welcome to the show. Matt, let's dive right in. How did you first get started carving birds?
Although I knew a little bit about decoys from growing up on the East Coast, when I lived here in Juneau, my son took a 4-H course that involved carving a decoy. And because they had a bunch of kids in the room with sharp instruments, they liked to have parents there as well. And so they offered a piece of wood or a piece of cork to some of the parents. And I just got hooked. I started carving and just decided that was the way I'd like to spend my spare time.
Mm. Would you describe your process for us? What kind of wood do you use or something else? What kind of paint?
Sure. I mostly use the type of wood one would use in decoys. And so things like red cedar or redwood, things that are resistant to weathering and can stand being out in the weather and salt water and so forth. And so the carving is of woods like that. And then I use acrylic paints. It's basically a plastic coating when you're done. And so that's pretty weather resistant as well.
And how else is your work related to the tradition of making decoys?
I started out wanting to make literal hunting decoys, duck decoys for my own use. And you can only make so many of those before you have too many. And so I started looking around for other options and realized, you know, there is this big tradition, not in Alaska, but on the East Coast and in the Mississippi Valley and on the West Coast, of carving decoys back in the days when sport hunting and market hunting were big things in the late 19th and up to the middle of the 20th century. And I liked the technique, and so I took the technique into birds that used to be carved for decoys but are no longer huntable. And then after doing a bunch of sandpiper type birds, shorebirds, I decided, you know, I could use the same techniques for songbirds and anything, any kind of bird really. And so what the show is about really is taking the techniques of decoy carving and painting and moving them beyond literal hunting decoys. There will be a few hunting decoys in the show, but taking it into shorebirds and songbirds, and, you know, there would be a raven there and a cormorant and all sorts of things that you don't think of as decoys. And I have decoys in the name of my little business, so people are always thinking I'm just carving things for hunting, but it's taking the technique into all sorts of other birds for, you know, decorative purposes, for the type of birds people like to see on their mantle or on their bureau at home.
Well, you've clearly got a talent for the medium, and for folks who might like to see some pictures, they're up at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. However, you're also a scientist. What is your scientific specialty?
Well, there's lots of people that say I wasn't much of a scientist, but I'm a trained wildlife biologist, and I spent 30 years in Alaska working as a wildlifer, both for the Bureau of Land Management for a few years, and then a fairly long career with the Wildlife Conservation Division of the Department of Fish and Game, and ended up in headquarters here in Juneau. But I've been retired now since 2007. So I've had plenty of time to play around with taking photos of birds or pictures of birds I find elsewhere and turning them into something that's three-dimensional. And that's what it'll be at Jack this Friday.
So how does your background in science get applied to your artistic process?
It's interesting. If anything, you know, I was not a bird scientist. I was mostly doing big game, and birds were more of a fun thing for me. And I guess the thing is, it's really not that scientific. It's more, I guess, artistic or aesthetic, and that is taking a simple block of wood and carving it to make people think about the bird. It gives you the feel of the bird without being super, super detailed. And that's really important to my process, which you asked about before. Back when people were making decoys for a living, they could not afford to spend extra time on making all sorts of super realistic details. And so they found the sweet spot where they could do some work and make a bird that made you and made other birds think about a particular species without all sorts of extra detail work. And you will see, if you come see these birds at this exhibition, these are not highly detailed. Hopefully I have done just enough in terms of carving the shape and painting the colors to make you recognize the bird and think that the bird looks like it's not just a stiff little, dead carving. It's got a little bit of life to it. That's my goal.
Your exhibit, as we mentioned, opens this first Friday at the Jack, and I understand there will be more than 50 carvings on display. So once you finish with a bird, how do you decide which one you want to do next?
Boy, it's a little bit random. I see a photo with a posture that strikes me and I go for it. Or a lot of my work now is commissioned work. So somebody will say that they would want a particular species, and then I'll start doing a little research and try to carve it out. And usually it comes out somewhat looking like what they wanted. So it's certainly not a well-organized, thoughtful process. It's just kind of what strikes me as a fun thing to do next.
What are some of the species that we'll spot if we come and check out your exhibit?
Well, I will have a bunch of mallards there, just for those who want to see duck decoys. And then I have some sea ducks. I will have a Barrow's Golden Eye and a couple of long-tailed ducks, which used to be called Old Squaw. And there will be quite a few shorebirds of different kinds. There will be yellow legs and various plovers and, what else, turnstones. And then the weird things, which are kind of wonderful, in my opinion, there's a pelagic cormorant. People usually don't think of cormorants as a featured decorative bird. But I think if you see the curves on this one, you'll agree it can be, pretty aesthetic, pretty nice looking. I'm just thinking through the room there. I will actually have an unfinished curlew on a carving vise, and we're going to ask people to do a silent auction, and the winner will get to have me finish the bird for them. And then I have everything from a Wilson's warbler to several great blue herons, full-sized herons, and just a host more. There'll be 53 birds there, 32 of them for sale. And one of the really cool things for me personally is 21 of the birds are being loaned back to me by people who have bought them in the past. And it's been really wonderful having them back in the house. It's like having kids home from college. It's just really, really fun to be able to see what I've done in the past. So it's been great pulling the show together.
How long has it taken you to make all 53 of those carved birds?
That's a difficult question to answer. The oldest bird there is a mallard. Several of the mallards were carved in 1996, and other birds were carved within the last 6 months. Most of the birds for sale were carved in 2019, preparing for the show that was supposed to happen in August of 2020. And then since we had to put the show off till now, I've carved a few birds over, over the winter. And now it's just a big pile of 53 birds.
I know you love them all, and I'm sure they are all beautiful, but do you have any favorites?
Yes, in this show, personally, I think that pelagic cormorant is one of the best birds I've ever done. There is a whimbrel that I gave to my daughter and son-in-law for their wedding present, 5 or 7 years ago now, that is a really nice bird. That'll be there. So those are two of the favorites. The great blue herons are pretty fun because they're all in different postures. There's going to be, I think, 5 different great blue herons there. And one thing I haven't said is that these are all hand-carved. And so when you hand-carve a full-sized heron, you know that you've done some work. It is a lot to do with nothing but knives and chisels and rasps. It takes a while, and you go to bed sore after a week or two of hacking away on one of those things. So I'm very happy with those, and I think they're very beautiful.
What's the next bird or birds you'd like to carve, apart from the one that you have in progress that is the subject of the silent auction?
You know, shorebirds are always very interesting, but I also love waterfowl. I guess I don't have anything. I've been so focused on trying to pull all these birds together and get ready for the show. I haven't looked ahead. I do have one request for a northern cardinal that I'll be doing once I get free from the show. Generally, I like to do Alaskan species, and but if somebody has a reason to make a different species for another part of the country or the world, I will certainly do that. As a matter of fact, I did 3 birds this last year that are now in Australia that were on a special request. So I'll try anything at least once.
I can see the heron. I think it's a blue heron over your shoulder. It's certainly a big bird there. Do you carve any of the smaller birds like the hummingbirds?
I do. I will have one hummingbird in the show. I've done quite a few hummingbirds in the past when I was over at the Juno Artist Gallery. So it spans the distance from hummingbird life size to great blue heron life size. So there's a huge range there.
Well, that'd be neat to see. And although these are carved sort of in the traditional decoy, carved in the tradition of the decoy, are any of them actually functional as decoys?
Yes, actually, the 6 mallards that I have in the show are in a tub, and right now they're on artificial plywood water, but I did float them, and they could be taken out and used by a hunter tomorrow. There's also a couple of brant decoys, and I guess of the birds that are legal to hunt these days, those would be the only birds in the show that are legitimate decoys. Birds that used to be hunted, like a lot of the shorebirds, I have several, probably over a half dozen shorebird decoys, quote unquote, that look like the decoys of old, but are not usable for hunting anymore because of the regulations.
Where do you hope that your birds, your children, if you will, are going to end up as part of this exhibit?
Well, my fond hope would be people would like them as decorative objects in their home. They're all made to withstand weather, so you could literally take some of them and put them out on a porch or whatever. But I would expect that if people either liked a particular species and or liked the way that they were presented at this show, could take them and put them in their house as a decorative piece. People don't do that maybe as much as they used to, but I still think if you like birds and like wildlife, this is a way to have a piece of that inside your house.
Well, I do think that people in Juneau like birds quite a bit. Thanks, Matt Robus, both scientist and artist. I hope your first Friday opening is a big success. Is there anything you want to mention about the exhibit, COVID restrictions, things like that?
I do. Thank you for that. This, you know, when we designed this exhibit to be in October, we did not expect the situation we have right now. We thought it would be back to normal, but it isn't. So the Jack is opening up. This is going to be the reopening of the Jack on Friday, and they're going to require masks inside. There will be a controlled flow of people through the gallery so that there won't be a crowd. And you're also going to need to bring proof of vaccination, like a picture of your card on a phone or something like that. You know, those are reasonable expectations, I think, under the circumstances where, you know, the Delta variant has caused so much illness in town now. So 4:30 to 7 Friday night, and if you wear a mask and show that you've been vaccinated, I look forward to seeing you come through the tightly packed gallery full of birds.
And probably a rare opportunity to see so many of your birds in one place. Well, thank you so much for this wonderful interview. I really appreciated talking with you. It was great to hear your answers, and thank you for answering all of my questions. Anything else you'd like to share before we say goodbye today?
No, I thank you for letting me talk about it, and I really look forward to seeing people who are interested in what I'm doing. And if you want to talk about carving, I could take the rest of the evening doing that. So I'll see people on Friday night.
All right. Well, take care and have a nice afternoon. Have a great exhibit on Friday. Hope you have a good turnout.
Thank you, Shelley.
Up next, mapping out the future for two of Juneau's most popular recreation areas, Montana Creek and Fish Creek.